Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Well, for those of you that I did not get to talk to, my name is Stephen. It is nice to meet you. If we haven't met before, I'm the worship pastor here. And our lead pastor, Rob Shepherd, has the Sunday off. And you know where I'm going with this. Our lead pastor, Rob Shepherd, wears a ton of hats. And it's an understatement to say that he deserves today off. And I'm one person to say I'm extremely thankful for him and all that he does. I think we got ourselves a really, really good one. Am I the only one who thinks that? You guys, next time you see Rob, tell me he's full of awesome, that he rocks your little world, country girl. Something like that. Is that how it goes? But we love Rob and appreciate him. And today we're in a series about wrestling. The series about wrestling with some hard truths that we find ourselves in, some situations that we need to wrestle with God because we don't necessarily have the answers or understand them. And I don't know about you, but that sounds like, based on the week that this world has had, a pretty fitting situation, because I think those things fall under that idea of wrestling with God, that idea of not understanding. And I just want to press pause on the service for a second, and before we get too far into it, you guys know what happened on Friday with Paris and with the terrorist attacks, and not only that, but it's constantly going around. If you open the newspaper any day of the week, you'll find something tragic, something terrible. And in this specific event, though, I think it's fitting for us to be a church that's modeling mourning with those who mourn and modeling wrestling with God over some hard truths, over some situations that don't seem to make sense. So we're going to take a time out. We're just going to pray, and we're going to mourn with those who are mourning, who've experienced loss, who've experienced tragedy, and are trying to make sense of it. So would you guys do me a favor, just bow your heads with me. God, we are reeling. We're a world right now, a community of people, of humans, God, who have a lot of questions, and we don't really know what else to do but to come to you, God, as a church, as people who put our hope in you and say, God, we're reaching out, we're crying out, and what we do know is that you're somebody who tells us that you're capable, that you possess the power to heal and to fix and to make new what's lost and what's broken. So God, we just ask for that today, God. We cry out, and we mourn with those who mourn today, God. God, I hope, I pray that we can be a church that is willing to say, I don't understand why, I don't pretend to have the answers, but I believe in a God who's good. I believe in a God who wants our hearts, who wants us to come to him. So God, may we leave here today with that. God, as a church who cares, as a community whose hearts are hurting for those who hurt, you want to reach out with the response of love, God. I pray that. I thank you that you're good. I pray this in Jesus' name, as everybody said. Amen. We are going to learn about wrestling today from a guy named David. And before we dive into the main text, I want to invite you, if you have a smartphone or tablet and you have the YouVersion app, you guys can pull that out and open it up. If you've never followed along through YouVersion, we have some instructions on the screen for how you can do that. But today we're diving into the idea of wrestling, specifically how when we fail to wrestle, we fail to make progress, we fail to get past some growth barriers in our life. And I don't know about you, any wrestling fans in here? Good, I'm glad we're doing this series. We have one wrestling fan, two wrestling fans, two and a half wrestling fans. No, but I'm not an avid wrestling fan, but there have been times in my life where I went through seasons of wrestling fandom, and one of those seasons was when I was a little kid. I remember getting really excited that our parents let us rent WrestleMania on pay-per-view because we were huge fans, me and my brothers, of Hulk Hogan and Macho Man. I idolized these guys. I thought they hung the moon because they could body slam. They had huge muscles. They had bandanas and rubber boots. And looking back, it's pretty ridiculous. I'm just going to be controversial and say this. 80s wrestling, if not even wrestling of today, is pretty ridiculous and pretty silly. But for whatever reason, it has a pull and it has a draw. And I think one of the reasons, one of the things that is cool about wrestling and fascinates me is the idea of a sneak attack. And I don't know if you guys have seen this method of wrestling, but the trick to a sneak attack is to wait for when the guy is too self-confident. Wait for when the guy is flexing his muscles or he's being interviewed or he's lost track of the wrestling match itself, and out of nowhere knock him over the head with a chair and he's done. That is a successful sneak attack. And some of you guys have never got to see a sneak attack. So I brought with me a little clip, a little demonstration. You guys, check this out. Watch out for the guy in the back. He's up to something, guys. I don't know. I don't know if Andre the Giant ever won an Oscar for Princess Bride. Any Princess Bride fans here? That's what's up. But if he never did, he should have won an Oscar for that, because that was some serious acting chops. A, to not see the guy behind him, but B, just everything else about it. He's a crazy dude. But in wrestling and in life, when we stop paying attention to what's in front of us, we stop having the ability to make progress. When we stop actually wrestling, we can't go anywhere further. And here's the thing. I think all of us today, no matter where we are, want to grow. I think as Christians, we're striving to grow. We're reading our Bibles. We're showing up at church, and that's a sign that we want to grow. I think if you're here and you're not of faith, there's still areas of your life in which you want to grow. You want your family's moral values to be better. You want your ability to concentrate at work and earn a better income to increase. Whatever it is, you're trying to grow in some way, shape, or form today. But the problem with trying to grow is ourselves. The problem with trying to make progress is the fact that you and I have a hard time reaching goals sometimes. We find barriers and obstacles to our own personal growth. And if you don't believe me, I have this thing called New Year's resolutions to point you to. And how many of you have ever succeeded at a New Year's resolution? Anybody here? It's okay to say yes and throw off my illustration. That's fine. Cool. Two people have, and that's good. No, honestly, I applaud that. That is really cool, because most of us have a really hard time with that. And I'm just going to be real with you. About 4 years ago, decided that I was going to come up with a resolution. I was going to do some things to change my life. And my goal was to lose 50 pounds. And what was awesome about it was that I worked on it. I changed what I ate. I changed my routine and how I exercised. And after a while, I reached my goal. And not only that, I was keeping it off, and people would come to me, people who were close to me, and say, "Steven, I really respect it. In fact, I can't even imagine you 50 pounds heavier." And the good news for us, for you guys today, is you don't have to imagine me 50 pounds heavier, because I magically found those 50 pounds that I so hard worked to lose. And that's the thing in physical situations and spiritual situations alike. It's hard to keep up those goals, those resolutions that we shoot for. See, what happened in my quest was I was able to get derailed. I had a goal, I had a mark, but then I had a kid. I had a new job. I had life come at me, and it was hard to be loyal to that goal that I set. But the trick to having a faith that grows, to having a deep faith that the goal we set out to reach, is that we have to be willing to keep our head in the game. We have to be willing to wrestle. So we're going to check out one illustration of what that looks like today. If you have your Bibles, your phones, whatever it is you're keeping track of this on today, would you turn to Psalm 145? Psalm 145, verse 1. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. Doesn't that text, doesn't that passage represent the faith that we all want? Isn't that a picture of really where we want our hearts to be? We want our hearts to be able to open up and just start praising, just start worshiping, to say stuff like, they speak of your glorious splendor and majesty. That represents the faith that we're all going for. The Bible talks about David as a man after God's own heart. David was a guy who could not only write some awesome songs, some awesome poetry, but David, according to the Bible, was a man after God's own heart. David was a guy that God handpicked to lead his people, to lead the Israelites. God told him that he was a man after his heart, and so he was going to succeed Saul. Saul was Israel's first king. And we're going to check out this bit of the story right here in Acts chapter 13, verse 21. Then the people asked for a king, and he gave them Saul, son of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled 40 years. After removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. And we don't question that. We don't have any issues believing that because of what we just read. It totally looks like a man after God's own heart because of how we worship, because of how we praise, because it sounds like this guy had it going on, spiritually speaking. And especially when we contrast it with our own hearts, because we know what comes out of them. We know that we question God. We know that sometimes life hurts. We know that sometimes where David would say, I'm praising your name forever and ever, we're saying, God, this is just hard. We know sometimes where David was saying, the people will tell of your marvelous works all the days of their lives, we're saying, God, it just doesn't even feel like you're here. And so we have these questions and hurts and concerns and don't know where to take them. And I'm just going to warn you, there is an M. Night Shyamalan level twist about to happen. And if you see where this is going, no spoilers, but I want to read a different passage for you in the book of Psalms. This is Psalms 55. If you're there, you can read with me. Psalms 55, verse 1. Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me. My thoughts trouble me. I am distraught because of what my enemy is saying, because of the threats of the wicked. For they bring down suffering on me and assail me in their anger. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen on me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter, far from the tempest and storm. And the twist in all of this is not in any of the numbered verses we just read. The twist is in the subtext. We're going to pull up this passage up here on the screen and what it looks like in the Bible. The twist here is in the introduction. If you can just look at that last line for me. It says, a maskil of who? Of David. David wrote Psalm 55, and David wrote Psalm 145. The same guy who could praise God, the same guy who could show us what this heart of worship looks like, was also a guy who mourned, was also a guy that went through stuff, was also a guy that wasn't afraid to tell God where he stood, to tell God about the stuff he was going through. And we read this and we must think, man, that's a little bit lesser of a faith. This Psalm 55, David, was probably a lot more immature. He probably hadn't progressed to where he was in Psalm 145 in his faith, and so I could see why he might write that. The reality is that David wrote Psalm 55 7 years prior to 145. And 7 years might sound like a lot, but in the lifespan of David, in a time where he reigned for 40 years, 7 years is really a drop in the bucket. 7 years is in the same general season of life. And so the same man, the same heart, in the same season of life could praise God on one hand in a different situation. He could pour out his heart. He could pour out his anguish. He could say, God, I am low, and this is what I'm going through. So we ask, how is that possible? We ask, how is David, with such a divided heart, a representation of God's own heart? Right? Because as Christians, as people really, we like our illustrations nice and tidy. We like our models to live after really clean cut. And this is not the case with David. See, our way of judging things is on the outside, but God says, I don't care as much about your pomp and circumstance. I don't care as much about your ceremonies. I don't care as much about what you say and do. I care what's on the inside. I'm looking at the heart. I'm looking at the inside. And so what did God see that he liked so much when he looked at the inside, when he saw what was inside David's heart? Well, the reality is that David held nothing back. There were no parts of David's heart that were hidden. There was nothing concealed. He was saying, God, this is who I am. David was a guy that lived in the land of TMI. He never came to a place where he was worried about what God might think of what he said. He was completely transparent before God. Because here's the thing that David understood. If God truly has your heart, you won't hold back. And I think having the kind of faith that's worth striving for, we realize it's also worth fighting for. In fact, that's the place we're going to check out. That's where we're going to camp out today. That's our main point. The faith you're striving for is a faith worth fighting for. Can you guys just do me a favor and indulge me and say that with me? The faith you're striving for is a faith worth fighting for. And I know this is possibly confusing, and I want to clear it up. What I'm not saying is that if you like God, if you're happy with God, if you have a positive countenance, then you're probably not as deep as someone who's not. I'm not saying that at all. I think that God created joy. I think God wants us to experience joy because that's part of his nature. And if we spend time with him, that will come out in our actions. What I am saying is that when we really wrestle with God, when we really say, I want to get past this, I want to progress, I want to grow in my relationship with you, the first step is to say, I'm willing to let it out. And I think letting it out can look like a few different things. I think you might let it out by writing it down. I think that's a great step. You might let it out by finding somebody you trust that you can console in and say, this is what I'm going through. This is my heart. This is what's on it. And I'm willing to wrestle with it. I think letting it out might be going to see a counselor and actually getting professional help on what it's going to take for you to get progress. But the key to letting it out is understanding that it's surrendering. The fight isn't just for the fight. We're not just wrestling because it's fun. We're not just wrestling because we want to stay in wrestling. But we're wrestling because it's saying, I'm in this to let God win. I am wrestling because I agree with God. I agree that he is a God. He's the only person that is worth surrendering to. And seeing it's dangerous when we get in a different mindset, when we get into this thought of, I'm just going to wrestle, I'm just going to tell God, I'm just going to let him know all day long, and we never move past that. The point isn't the wrestling. Daniel Parkins, he's a pastor, he says it this way. The Lord is not a God to be manipulated, but a God to be worshipped. I.e., we wrestle with God not to get what we want. We wrestle with God because of what's on the other side. See, when we wrestle with God, we get to know more about him. We get to understand his nature. When we wrestle with God, we get to see where we stand in comparison with him. We opened up this series a couple weeks ago talking about the story of Jacob and how he wrestled with God. And one of the takeaways from the story of Jacob is that Jacob got to see where he stood in comparison with God. Jacob got to see that it wasn't about him winning, it was about him understanding the strength of his God. A.W. Pink said it this way, God wanted to teach us through the wrestling match that our strength is recognizing our weakness. I love that. When we wrestle with God in his strength, we realize our own weakness. You guys ever wonder what we might have written this story to be? Like if we had a chance to tell the story of us, the human, wrestling with God, the deity, how that might have turned out. I think being humans, being people who like to be in the spotlight, being people who like to be the heroes to win the day, I think we might have thrown in a few different things where we got to put God in a headlock, or we got to put God in an arm bar. We got to come out in some way a little bit better looking than when we went into it, because it's such a huge opportunity to wrestle with God. But the key to wrestling with God isn't about the story that we tell. The key to wrestling with God is understanding the glory of a God. of our God. The key to wrestling with God is not us, it's about understanding his strength. And that's exactly why the prayer of Psalm 55 didn't end there. It didn't end in Psalm 55. David's anguish didn't end with him running from God or him saying, I'm going to put God off, or him saying, God, you've abandoned me, so I'm going to abandon you. Psalm 55 ended with David running to God and saying, you're a God that's worthy of my whole heart. You're a God who deserves my surrender, and so I'm going to praise your name despite how I feel, despite the misery that I'm experiencing. And I think when we hear crying, when we hear when we hear despair, when we hear people who are being open about their pain, sometimes we think about it as selfish, or sometimes we think about it as like teenage angst. And even though sometimes maybe that is true, it's not true in the story of David. David had some legit stuff, as a lot of us do, had some legit stuff that was happening in his life. In the time that David wrote Psalm 55, he was being pursued by his son. His own son, Absalom, was trying to kill him. His own son, Absalom, was splitting his kingdom and saying, I'm going to take your throne from you. And I know that sounds biblical, right? It's hard to snap out of it sometimes and think about it in real life. But imagine your own son has said, I'm going to usurp your throne. I'm going to kill you because I want to be king. And here's David, who God has promised that he's a man after his own heart. David's thinking, God, you've numbered my days. You've lined them out. You've said we're going to do great things together. And now my own son is pursuing me, trying to take my life. And where a lot of us would stand in his place and say, how could a good God let this happen? David said, I'm going to run to you with my whole heart on my sleeve because you're worth surrendering to. I don't have the answer. I don't have the fix. I don't have a bow to tie around it, but God, I'm going to tell you because you are God. God, I don't get this. This is not the picture of you that I understood. This was not the contract that I signed, but God, you're worthy. And I'm going to run to you, and I'm going to wear it on my sleeve. I'm going to give you every single compartment of my life and of my heart. And I think in our own roadblocks, it might sound different. We might say, God, I don't understand what you're doing. I don't understand why my family is falling apart. I don't understand why I lost my job. I don't understand why who I thought you were is not who you are. But God, I believe you're worthy, and I'm going to surrender. You might say, God, I don't understand this pain in my life or how to move past it, but I'm telling you, I don't want to be here, God. I don't want to stay here forever. I want to understand what it takes to wrestle with this, to step through it with you. But it's so easy for us to do the opposite of that, isn't it? It's easy for us to say this just isn't worth it. The work that it takes to do it is hard, and it's easy for us to start telling our own stories. But imagine what the world would look like if we're willing to have some hard fights. Imagine what the world would look like and how we could impact the darkness around us that we see so much evidence of if we're willing to say, I don't get this, I don't understand it, but I'm not going to give up. I think this deep faith, this progress is worth me stepping into and wrestling with and giving it all I have, giving it all of my heart. And on the other hand, if we don't, imagine what the world looks like if we turn and go the other way. Imagine what the world looks like if we start to say, I'm going to polish it up. I'm going to nice it up. I'm going through stuff, but they can't know. I'm going through some things. I'm having some doubts. I'm having bad things happen to me, but they can't know because what will they think? And I know that sounds silly. It sounds crazy. It sounds like a characteristic we don't want to have. It's not attractive. But I'm going to tell you, I've been there. I'm going to tell you, just to be real, that's something that I struggle with. That's something I want you guys to think. I want you guys to think Stephen doesn't struggle. Stephen doesn't come to low points. Man, how did God make him so much better than me? It's okay to laugh if you want to laugh. But the reality is that's kind of a lame story, right? The reality is that me saying, look at me, look at how good I am, look at what I can pull off, is nothing compared to the story of our Creator. It's nothing compared to the God of the universe being able to use something that's broken, being able to take something that's wholly surrendered, even though it's messed up, and use it for His good and use it for His glory. That's such a better story. I think that's a story that can change the world. I think that's a story that can rock the world. So I don't know what it is that you're wrestling with, but I think we all probably have stuff. I think some of you guys live in Psalm 145 all the time, and you're perfect, and that's awesome. And we should be friends, because I don't know what that's like. But I think a lot of us have experienced some questions along the way. I think a lot of us have wondered where God is in our situations. I think a lot of us have had a hard time reconciling the God that we know, the God that we learn about, and what reality is like. But here's what I really believe. I believe that in the example of David, we see a heart that's after God's. We see a heart that's willing to say, it's worth it. God, I want to get past this. God, I want to know you and serve you. God, I want to give you glory. And to do that, we have to get on the mat. To do that, we have to wrestle. So I'm going to give you guys some practical application. The application this week is this. To find a way this week to constructively voice your wrestling and surrender your struggle to God. If you don't know how to do that, I think one way to do that is to talk to somebody. I think one way to let it out, to get the wrestling started, is just to talk to somebody you trust. It could be your spouse. It could be a friend. It could be a family member. Just let it out and say, this is where my heart is. It's not where I want it to stay, but it's what I'm going through. I think another way that we can start to wrestle with God is to talk to a professional counselor, and that's a scary thought. That's a taboo thought, and especially in our culture, and we start thinking only messed up people beyond recognition go see counselors, but I have something for you. It's Proverbs, so used to being in Psalms. Proverbs 12:15 says this, the way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. It doesn't make you a screw-up if you get counseling, it makes you wise. So I think for us to make progress, some of us are going to have to do that. Say, God, I want to be wise. God, I want to get some of this junk out and air it, because I think that's a step to growth. I think some of us might just need something feasible today, just a place to start. I know I'm probably right there with you, so I just want to give you this opportunity. And all it is just to talk to God, just to tell God. Tell it to God. Say, I am wrestling with this, God. I've never let you know. I've never got it off my chest. I've never let you know what I've gone through or what I've doubted or the things that I felt. But step one, God, is to tell you, this is where I am. I don't want to be here, but this is where I am. So we're going to have a song to end the service, and in that time, it's our chance just to reflect. And if we just need to talk to God and be honest, that's fine. That's our place. If you just want to stay seated and just head bowed, you can do that. If you want to stand and give God praise, that's where you're at. You can do that as well. But as we pray, I just want to invite you to open your heart, to give your heart to God. So let's pray. The band's going to come up. We're going to close out. God, I just thank you for the truth that you want us for who we are. You want our whole hearts. You don't want us to fake it or make a show of it or act like everything's perfect. So now we come to you and we just pray that prayer. God, know us, search us. God, we thank you that you accept that you honor it, that you make us better for it, God. So may we be a church that's giving you all our hearts, everything that's in it. May we be surrendered. May we be focused today on wrestling, on giving it over to you. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.